So today on the podcast, I have Daniel Lantine. He is a social media marketing intern at Fruster, the social media marketing intern at Space Age, and the social media manager at LeadSift. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Daniel.
Thanks for having me, Michael. I'm super psyched to be here. Thanks for reaching out.
Oh, anytime. That is a lot of internships slash the LeadSift one, I believe, is part-time as well, correct?
Yeah. So the reality of that is for Thruster, I'm currently an intern, so I'm an unpaid intern there. And then I have another part-time job, which is like I deal with building clients' membership websites. So that was my first paying job. I just didn't put it on LinkedIn first because my boss is not cool with it yet. But with LeadSift, that's my second part-time job. So yeah, I'm currently the social media manager there. So I have one unpaid internship and two paying jobs, but I have to, based on my visa, I can only work for like 20 hours a week. So I make sure it fits there.
And you're currently a student?
Yeah, I'm currently a business marketing student at Centennial College here in Toronto, Canada. Currently on my second semester.
Oh, nice. And where are you from originally, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm originally from the Philippines. So Quezon City, Philippines. I went here in Toronto around 5 months ago. So December 2019. So I'm in Scarborough, Toronto right now, loving it.
And people might be wondering why I've, you know, no offense, brought a student on to the podcast. But the reason I brought you on is because I saw you posted an article on LinkedIn titled "How I Stood Out from 500 Applicants and Got Hired by 3 Companies Within 3 Months as a Student," which I love that title, by the way.
Oh yeah.
And I thought it was such a great article, and I thought it would be really cool to kind of go through it and pick out your experience of being able to stand out from the pack, not only as a student, but also as an immigrant to the country, especially when you have got those limitations of only being able to work 20 hours a week. And it sounds like you've been able to get some companies so keen on you that they've been flexible, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, it's been super amazing. So most of the companies that I'm currently working with, they're very aware about my limitations about working as an international student. So they're super flexible with that, and it's been really cool.
So in your intro to the article, you mentioned in the Philippines, you typically had a mass application process, or I guess that means having the same resume for everyone and just spreading it everywhere. But you kind of switch your thinking in Canada, and I guess what made you think that was necessary in Canada to kind of cater your resume to each role?
Yeah. So back in the Philippines, what I used to do was this thing called spray and pray, where you just spray your resume all over. You apply with the same resume to as many companies as you can, just mass applications, and pray that most of them will come back to you for an interview. So in the Philippines, that worked. So when I applied for 20 companies, around 5 to 10 of them got back to me. So it's just the same resume, no cover letter, no summary. It's just my resume. And they got back to me. And then I got a job from that one. When I got here in Canada, I tried to do the same method. 20 companies I applied for with the same resume, and no one got back to me. So I was just applying online. And once I found out that it wasn't working, I knew that I had to do something different. So I started searching online of, you know, how do you actually make a resume that's fit for the Canadian market? How do you stand out from everyone else? So I found out that you actually had to put keywords in there. You actually had to put cover letters. You had to tailor fit your resume based on the company. So that's what I did. And yeah, that's how I got my internship and my 2 other jobs.
And in the article, you kind of break it down into the 4 phases: job application, pre-interview, during the interview, and post-interview. Let's start with the job applications. Like, how did you kind of cater those to the different different positions that you were applying for?
Yeah, so I went to 3 websites, like LinkedIn Jobs, Indeed.com, and Glassdoor. And I would check on, because I was applying for a social media position or a digital marketing position. So I would click on a certain role, and then whatever they're looking for, I would put that in my resume. Like, let's say one of the keywords that they placed is Instagram. I would make sure that my resume had the word Instagram on it, because one of the things that I found out was, I'm not sure if they have this back in the Philippines, but here in Canada, they actually have like this automatic resume checker. And if the keywords are not present in your resume, no matter how amazing your experience is, they won't even interview you just because you didn't pass the bot or the AI that's doing the checking. So I made sure to add the keywords based on what they're looking for. With a cover letter, I had a template, but I had to change it up based on what I'm applying for. So if it's a social media manager role or just a digital marketing role, I put different things in there based on what they're currently looking for.
And a quick plug for my own podcast, the episode we did with Susan Varty is really key to that. We talk about the keyword aspect quite a bit in that podcast. So I'd recommend people go have a quick listen to that too, if you're in that position. But yeah, it's really hard with the robots now. I also think one key tip would probably look at your score on LinkedIn. Sometimes when you apply for a job, on the top right-hand corner, it usually says your LinkedIn profile is hitting 4 out of 10 of these skills. So that's probably a good indication as well.
Yeah, for sure. LinkedIn's a really great tool, especially for job applicants. So you make sure that you have this thing they call all-star rating based on your profile. So make sure you hit that rating and make sure to put the keywords in your LinkedIn profile as well to help you get discovered by all these recruiters.
So you got the job interviews. How did you prepare for them?
So the way I prepared for them was, whenever I do an interview, I always think of it as a performance. Like, it's both a performance and a conversation at the same time. So to prepare for it, what I did was I would research the company. I would check who you know, the founders are, who the CEOs are, and, you know, what they're currently struggling with, their current projects, so that I can bring this up during the interview and for them to actually know that I did my research. And just by doing research, just by knowing about the company, what they do, their core values, this would already make you stand out from the rest of the applicants. And one of the most important things that I did was to actually prepare amazing questions. So these are, here's a tip. Whenever an interviewer asks you, do you have any questions? You never say no. Don't say, oh, not really, you can go on. You have to have amazing questions, because that's also one of the ways for you to stand out from everyone else. So I think one of the most important questions that I asked was, what makes you get excited to work in the morning? Because by asking that question, I don't think that, you know, let's say they're talking to 100 people. Out of those 100 people, who would ask that question? It's either probably one person or maybe maximum of 5 if they did the same research as I did. So that's one of the questions that I asked, and that automatically helped me stand out, I believe.
Was there any specific examples where you kind of went, had any company specific questions that kind of landed with people?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, let's say with Space Age, when I was applying for Space Age, I knew that they were about to launch this app during that time. And I asked questions about the app. Like, oh, I heard that you were launching this app. When are you launching it? Which areas are you launching it? You know, how can I help in launching it? And just asking these specific questions about how you can help the company based on their current projects would really help you out as well.
And I like when you go into talking about during the interview, do you want to mention what your secret weapon was?
Oh, yeah. So I didn't learn this online. So I just did it because I'm in marketing. And one of my favorite all-time quotes is, zig when everyone zags. So during this time, COVID just started and all my interviews were online. So what I did was, with my Zoom background, my Zoom virtual background, I made sure to change it into the logo of the company. So once I did that, automatically when your screen comes on, the recruiter will be just like, oh, wow, I like your background. And then it's just going to be a funny topic. And then, you know, you're already top of mind in terms of who they like. Because again, no one does that. And I don't know after this interview if everyone will start doing that, but so far not all candidates are doing that. So I think that's pretty cool. And another secret weapon, quote unquote, that I have is my Blue Yeti microphone. So it looks like a professional podcasting microphone.
Putting me to shame right now.
Not really. I've had this for quite some time. So well, during my first interview with Space Age, once that screen came on and Cole, the founder, saw the microphone, all he said was, "Oh wow, that's such a cool microphone." And then he started laughing about it. And again, it will automatically make you likable. And just, you know, how many applicants have a cool looking microphone? So yeah, I'm not telling you that you'll get hired if you buy a cool looking microphone, but it's definitely a plus.
And I think also you're highlighting two skills straight off the bat. A, you know, if you put some work into the background, you can show you can do a little bit of design work, which obviously for social media counts. And then also you're now showing you can do some podcasting as well.
Yeah, right. And if they know that you can come up with these things just to help you stand out in the marketplace, you could do the same for their company.
I do remember reading a tip about making something a little bit memorable about yourself. Like I remember reading an article like wearing a colorful bow tie, for instance. You'll, like when they're talking about people after the interview, they go, "The colorful tie guy," or, like, you know. So having something like the background, I think, is a really smart idea, because you'll be, "Oh, the guy that had the background."
Yeah, for sure. Of course, because like when they're interviewing like hundreds of people, that's all they can remember you by. You'll be like, "Oh yeah, that dude with the microphone, he's pretty cool." Or, you know, "That guy with our logo on his background was pretty cool." And, you know, they'll just get back to you just because you stand out.
And what did you do post-interview to make yourself stand out as well?
So post-interview, again, I just learned it here when I moved to Canada, is to actually send thank you emails to the recruiter. So I just want to give out a huge shout out to one of the people who helped me out. Her name's Madeline Mann. You can find her on YouTube. I learned almost everything from her in terms of acing the interview. So one of the videos she has was sending a thank you email to their recruiter, because again, not everyone does that. And if you just send a thank you email to the recruiter, they'll like that, because again, not everyone does it. And it's just a simple thank you email, where, you know, you add something that you liked about the conversation and you're looking forward to hearing about the next steps. Just these super quick gestures would help you, again, stand out in the marketplace, in the job marketplace.
Yeah, I've also used in the past that as an opportunity to kind of put some links into some work that maybe got mentioned in the interview, just to again, point your skills out a little more as well.
Yeah, for sure. That's huge. And it's just, again, it's demonstrating one of your skills that, you know, you know how to follow up, you're a good person, you know how to say thank you. And just these super tiny things matter a lot to recruiters, apparently.
And do you have any points of advice for recruiters out there that might be on the fence on hiring someone from another country? Kind of putting you on the spot as an advocate there.
I know. I'm like, whoa. Let's see here. So I think a recruiter's job is to find someone who would be a great fit for the company, in terms of culture, in terms of, you know, attitude or skills. From what I've heard is, because not everyone who comes in this country speaks really good English, but I think they have to get past that barrier of judging someone from how they speak English and just focusing on what this person can bring to the table, despite, you know, not being an A-plus communicator. So because I've spoken to some recruiters who told me that communication does a big thing in terms of hiring candidates, even if they don't want to judge someone that way, it's just a big factor, because, you know, even if they don't know that someone is very hardworking or someone is super skilled, they'll automatically put that person in a certain bucket where, okay, I'm not sure about this person because he's not that good in English, not knowing that the skills of this person are A+.
Yeah, and can we talk a little bit about your experience before coming to Canada? Because it's not like you're starting from zero here.
Yeah. So when I was in the Philippines back in, I think back in 2015, I started my own business. So from 2015 to 2018, I was an entrepreneur. So I started this online home-based business where I was basically selling edible cookie doughs to the whole country. I was just shipping it all over the Philippines. And when I got success from that, I started doing bazaars. And eventually I put up like a churro stall in this island called Boracay. I put up a restaurant with my girlfriend in Quezon City. So in 2018, all of these failed, which is, you know, it's both a blessing and a curse. Like, at that time, I had not much money left. So I had no other choice but to get a job. And then in 2018, I got my first job. I was a social media specialist from a company. And then in 2018 or 2019, I went to another job where I became a digital marketing manager. And then eventually a marketing manager for the company. And then right after that, I already went to Canada.
And I bring that up because I feel like, and I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, I feel like my first job in marketing in Canada, I was probably getting 20K less than what other people were getting because I was, you know, I didn't have that Canadian, I'm putting in quotation marks, Canadian experience that seems so coveted here. And I like, that's why I recommend to people, if you're looking for someone who's got experience, like look to someone outside, you know, who's an immigrant to the country, because you're coming in with a lot of experience at an intern level, which, you know, you shouldn't be, but obviously with the restrictions in your visa, that's kind of where you have to go. So I just want to put that out there to anyone who is recruiting, not to discount someone because of a perceived language barrier as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I think I already accepted the fact that even if I was quote unquote successful already back in the Philippines, if I went to Canada, I would actually be starting from zero. Because I'm not sure if this is real, but when you come here, like let's say you were a marketing manager or like a director of marketing in your hometown, when you go to Canada, they won't really think much of that. And don't quote me on this because I'm not sure, but they don't really think that you have what it takes to actually run the Canadian market. So I don't know if that's the norm or what do you think? I don't know.
That certainly seems to be the perception I've come across as well. I have met people who have jumped from a marketing manager position in Latin America to a marketing position here, but they tend to work at an international company that they were able to just get the same company in Canada. Mm. So I have seen it a couple of times, but generally speaking, yes, they do have to take a step back. And I mean, even myself has to take a step back. And I'm saying that as someone who is from a white country, speaks, yeah, you know, English as a first language. So I feel if I'm feeling that, then someone who's, you know, coming from the Philippines would feel that even worse.
Yeah, I think it's good in a way that I work so much harder here than when I did back home, just because I have so much to prove. And as an immigrant, the new country that you're in will just bring out the best in you, I think, because you really have to strive. You have to hustle. You have to push yourself. You have to learn new skills and, you know, you have to prove yourself, basically.
And I'll also say on the language thing too, like I feel people who have had to learn English as an adult or even later years are sometimes better at grammar because they've learned to look for it.
Yeah, exactly. Like back in the Philippines, we would have English is like our second language. So ever since I was a young boy many years ago, they would already teach us about grammar, about English. And when I got to, I actually had an internship back in Wyoming, USA. When I got there, the people were like, oh man, you speak better English than I do. Your grammar is on point. And, you know, it's just because we've been learning about it ever since we were kids.
Yeah. And when you're looking to perfect your grammar. Obviously, you know, I think you got a bit more of a Hawkeye for it compared to myself, who I've just always known it. And I get questions of grip at grammar and I'm like, I don't know for sure, but it sounds right.
Yeah.
Thank God for grammar.
Well, for sure. Sponsor this.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about your LinkedIn presence, because obviously I found you on LinkedIn. I'm not completely sure how we became connections, but I'm really impressed with your the articles that you post there. You have really good imagery that goes with it that really promotes your brand. So again, where did you learn like this kind of self-branding and get the confidence to kind of put yourself out there like that?
Yeah, so in terms of self-branding, believe it or not, I've been trying to build my personal brand since 2015. So 5 years ago, I've already plotted all these things and I just started. One of the reasons was because I kept on changing my path. So before, I was an entrepreneur, and then in the Philippines, I became, I had a career in marketing, and then now I'm in Canada and I'm a student. I think it all went down to, it all boils down to, again, just desperation that I have to succeed here, because I've been stalling my personal brand plan for, again, 5 years already. But when I got here in Canada, I knew that I finally had to take action. So this, what I'm doing now is just 5 years of knowledge, of just, you know, listening to people like Gary Vaynerchuk, reading books about personal branding, listening to podcasts about personal branding. So everything that I'm doing now is just 5 years of preparation, I guess.
That's really cool. So what's your goal next? What's next for your career?
So currently I'm still a student. I'm on my second semester. My goal is to graduate next year and then get a full-time job from there. Currently that's the main goal. That's the main track that I have to pursue. So just do that and build my personal brand on the side, all my side projects and yeah, everything else that I'm working on.
Any specific areas of marketing or even industries you're after?
Currently, this is one of the things that I'm still figuring out. Like, I know that I want to be in the digital marketing space, but I don't really know what industry. So if you ask me, okay, what's your dream company to work for? I don't really know, because I don't know. I just haven't nailed that down yet. And it's one of the things that I should nail down as early as now, because I'm starting to plant the seeds of success, quote unquote, of when I graduate. And once I already know what that company is, then I'll start connecting with people who are part of that company and just building relationships with them, so that when I graduate, I can get in that company easier.
Well, once you figure out, let me know. I'll see who I know.
For sure. Thank you so much.
So, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, where can they find you?
So everywhere online, on LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, I'm just DVGL. So my name's Daniel Lentin, but my handle is always DVG Lentin. So you can find me online there.
When do you expect this podcast to come out?
I'm planning to launch by next month. So I'll do some interviews this month, and then by next month, we're ready to go.
Thank you for bringing on. I hope we've been able to give some cool advice for anyone who might be a new student graduating or a new immigrant to the country. But I also hope we've opened some minds up on some recruiters out there to hopefully hire more immigrants, because I honestly think it's really important, particularly at the moment. It can be a bit of a struggle. But I'm really impressed with what you've done since you've got here, and your drive is amazing, and I can't wait to check out your podcast.
Yeah, you'll definitely be on there. Just wait for my message and I'll get you on.
Would love to do that. Thanks for coming on, Daniel.
Thank you so much, Michael. Have a great day.